That was music from Pretty Boy Thorson and Lil Happiness. And you can find that on a very cool collection of music put out by Rad Girlfriend Records from right here in the Miami Valley. And I want to welcome two of the folks behind that label. I want to welcome Josh and Brandy.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Very happy to have you guys here. So tell me, Josh, I know you're a musician also. What was the impetus to start a label?
I don't really know what impetus means.
What was the inspiration?
Oh. We had been putting out our own records. I played in a band called Rad Company, and we had been putting out our own records. And Brandy had just, you know, she'd kind of said, "You like doing this, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And I was worried about the money, and she said, "Don't worry about the money, just do it." And so that was it. And we just started putting out, we started with our own records, and then we actually had repressed a couple of old records to kind of build up a catalog at first. And we've had the label for
almost a year and a half.
Yeah, almost a year and a half. And we're at like 24 records. It's been all vinyl releases except for this compilation CD. But yeah, that was it. I mean, it was always something that I wanted to do, and then it turned out Brandy was interested, and it just worked out perfectly.
When you started, you said you started out by putting out your own material. How did you then go about deciding, you know, who out of other bands, you know, what other bands you wanted to release and who you wanted to work with? How did you make those choices?
I think most of them have come from people that you've toured with and played with.
Yeah, definitely. Just people. Bands that we used to see on tour a lot, like that Pretty Boy Thorson song. I mean, I met that guy and his band several years ago, and they came through the Dirt Collective, and they played at my house. And, you know, I always really liked them, and they were definitely more popular than my band. So when I asked them if they wanted to do a record, I was very surprised that they said yes. And but we've done two of them so far, and it's been great. And we are going to play with them on Saturday in Minneapolis. So.
Very cool, very cool. And you guys are getting ready to actually go out on the road, right?
The Raging Nathans are. We're leaving Friday. We're just doing a little weekend thing, but we're playing Friday in Madison with this band, The Gusto. And all those guys, I don't know if I should say this one. No. Well, the other guys are in another band.
Okay.
And this is their, like, you know, band where I can talk about.
But, so it's an incognito version of some other bands.
It definitely is.
Okay.
And they're actually doing really well right now. I'm like sworn to secrecy. I can't really say anything. But they've moved on from the 7-inch from Rad Girlfriend to bigger and much better things, which is awesome. We're stoked for them.
Yes.
And then Saturday in Minneapolis with one of Jesse Thorson's bands, and Sunday in Chicago with this band called Business Papers. Has members of Sass Dragons and Vacation Bible School and Brick Fight. So. You know, we just got a new 7-inch that came out today. The Raging Nathans, it's our first one. And so we're just stoked to finally go out and play some shows and see what happens.
Now, you mentioned with the new 7-inch, and you mentioned before that everything is vinyl. What was the decision to go the vinyl route as opposed to, you know, doing the whole CD, or even some people are doing cassettes now? Why vinyl?
Well, we've done some cassettes. I think that's a cool format. But I just don't listen to CDs, really. I don't. If I get them, they end up on the floor of my car.
Or lost or scratched.
Yeah. That's it. You know, so I find that vinyl is more of a permanent form of music. I mean, you actually, like, when they're getting made, you know, they make these, like, plates, and there's, like, this whole process. So there's, like, somewhere there's like master plates and you can repress records. And I find that it's like a very permanent form of music as opposed to CDs, which I just throw out the window if I don't like.
It almost feels like with the vinyl, like if you're going to do it and start a label, like that is kind of really the most kind of permanent way or way to ensure that, you know, you've made your musical mark or left this music to be enjoyed by generations to come.
I agree. I don't think it's a very smart way to do things, especially business-wise. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people will just pass up the records because there's no, you know, CD version. There are a lot of people that still listen to CDs, and we try to do download codes as much as possible, but I'm kind of iffy on those too. I mean, I don't really use them because I have the record and I have a record player, so I don't. So I tell people to go, you know, buy a record player or they're a huge poser. But
well, in talking about the business end of things, for both of you, what was the learning curve like sort of diving into the business end of the music? I talk to a lot of bands and we talk about kind of that balance between, you know, making the music and having to do all the promotion-y booking stuff. But a label is like a whole nother ball of wax. What was that like for you guys navigating that world?
I think we're still learning that.
We had no idea what we were doing. I mean, I still have no idea what I'm doing. Luckily, we've gotten good at, like, getting the records made. You know, we use a company, we actually use a broker that, you know, deals with the actual pressing plant, and so I just fill out some forms and we pay the money, but we have no idea what we're doing. And you know, we sell records, but we don't sell that many records. I mean, it's just more of a thing where, you know, I talked to, like, but you know, good friends of mine that also run labels and run pretty successful labels for, you know, punk rock music. And they've all told me the same thing, which is, like, you know, they've been doing it for 7-8 years. And, like, you just get that one record, you know, that happens to, you know, sell a lot. And what that does, you know, just finances the rest of your, you know, releases. And so we sell records here and there, but our internet presence is not so good. We don't have a good website, thanks to Andy Rowe. Thanks for trying, buddy. but we use, like, you know, like the Big Cartel site. And you know, occasionally we do get orders, but it's just not, you know, why would you buy records off of us if you have a label that you already buy off of? Like, you know that they're going to put out bands and songs and records that you trust to be good, you know. And I think that's what we're doing right now, is just trying to build a reputation for putting out good records. And you know, but as for business,
I think mostly is most of the money that we make or records that we sell is from fests that we go to, or his shows when he goes on tour.
Yeah, we have a distro, so it's like, you know, I'll trade out any record that we make, I'll trade out, you know, as many copies as I can, because it's not really about money. You know, and it never has been. And so for us, we just love to do it. And so the more records that we give away, you know, or trade, the more labels have them, the more, you know, the internet has them.
And the more our friends' music is being heard. I think that's the most important thing. Is Josh and I started this because we both love music, and it wasn't ever about making money. I think it's just having our friends have records.
Mm-hmm. Getting the music into more hands and into more ears. And
all sales are virtually hand-to-hand. I mean, you know, just from shows or, you know, going on tour is actually really helpful, because I'll bring all my records with me and I'll set them up at the merch table. But, you know, the problem is there are so many crappy records that people, you know, that I'll trade and I'll get. And so people tend to pick the records that they know are good right away, leaving me with, you know, kind of the rest of them.
Yeah, yeah. That's got to be easier, though, doing it, you know, at festivals and on tour, when you can have a conversation with somebody and really talk up the music in person, rather than somebody going kind of blindly to a website, like, you know, kind of roulette.
Yeah, it's my, you know, we're both, like, really kind of outgoing, friendly people. So, it works for us. And people will look at the records and be like, oh, I had no idea that you were a part of that, or like, you know. And so it helps to get our, you know, our name out there. And you know, she's a hot babe, so like, you know, like guys are like, hey, you know, buy some records.
Buy those records. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll hear some more music here in a second as well, and come back to talk more about what the new year holds for Rad Company, Raging Nathans, and Rad Girlfriend Records. You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. We'll be back with more here in just a moment.